तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। See, the consciousness is the all-illumining truth. The all-illumining truth is the consciousness. All-pervasive, timeless, always is, everywhere is, in everything it is, as everything it is, means still. How come that is illumined? The world which shines after that reality, the body, mind, sense complex which shines after the consciousness, which are illumined by consciousness, how the illumined body, mind, sense complex cover the illuminator Atma, all illumining Atma, how can it cover? I guess not covering. But why is not available for recognition? Because there is, I wanted to explain to you. I want to bring here the example of Vidyaranya Swami from Panchadashi. If there's a stage performance of dance or drama happening, and there's a group of audience watching the program, and the stage, there is stages, there's light. For a minute, the light goes off. Darkness. Audience cannot see the stage. They cannot even differentiate the stage and the audience places. Everywhere darkness. No performer of the program can be seen. Nothing is seen. Again the lights are turned on. Then there's a stage and there's a bright light, and then the performers come and they dance. The dance performance. A group of young girls come and dance. All their faces are seen. All their facial expressions are seen. All their hip movements are seen. All their feet movements are seen. And all their the costumes they're wearing are seen. And all jewelry is seen. Everything is seen. Colorful dress they're wearing, seen. Everything is seen. And then there's lots of movements, and the way they were dancing, the attention of all the audience in the program is drawn by the program, the forms there. How they do the abhinayam, how they dance, how they put this, the movements of the dancers, their expressions and their costumes, the dress, the jewelry, the colors, they hold the attention of the audience. Audience are awestruck, they're seeing, watching. The program gets over. Everybody goes. One person wants to know, is anything there in the auditorium? Is anything there? Everybody has gone. All the seats are empty. The performers have gone. There's the stage, still light is. Light is. The empty auditorium is. The vacant place is. Light is. Auditorium is. stages. Somebody asks, is there anybody inside? Is there anything inside? The person comes and tells, nothing is here. Nothing is happening. Nobody is here. Nothing is here. Nothing is here. This is the answer of the person who went in and saw. But actually, he must have correctly said, if he was correct in his expression, he must have said, just the light alone is. In the auditorium, light alone is. But he is not bothered to say light alone is. He just said nothing is there, nobody is there. Which means he did not give any importance. He did not pay any attention to the light. People, the performers were, his attention was only on performers. The mobility, the motions, the expressions, the costumes and colors and the shining things. Anything which is moving draws your attention. That which does not move, that is still, doesn't draw your attention. Okay? Anything moves, which moves, draws the attention. Colors that draw the attention. Why is this? The light doesn't draw the attention. The light doesn't move. The light just is. In fact, imagine that the one thing called light was not there on the stage. In the auditorium, the light was not there. What would have happened? The whole program would have been a flop. Without light, however beautiful the girls look, however beautifully they performed the dance, however attractive the jewelry, the costumes, the dress, they were, still nothing would have been really appreciated, enjoyed, if there wasn't one thing called light. It is because of the presence of light, the unmoving light, all the movements, all the motions, all the dances, all the expressions, all the colors, all the colorful, the costumes and things, everything was shining, everything was available for enjoyment because of the unmoving, the presence of the unmoving light. So light is the presence of light, existence of light, which made the whole program possible, which enabled the whole program. Even enjoyment was possible, isn't it? So if the light is so important, without presence of which everything would have been a flop, nothing would have been possible otherwise. Especially enjoyment of the program, happening of the program, nothing would have happened. But that means light is so important. Light is the main important thing in the perform program was the light, isn't it? True or not? Tell me. That means the person must have come and told, nobody is here, nothing is happening, but the light alone is, without the presence of which, nothing would have been possible. But he doesn't give the answer. He comes and tells nothing is there. It's relatively right, absolutely wrong. Why he didn't say light alone is? Why he couldn't say that? Because the whole program, light was there or not? Light was there with other opaque things. Light was there with other opaque things. When the movement was happening, all the things which are moving, were in motion, the colorful, they really draw their attention totally, that the person does not pay attention to the light at all. In fact, in the presence of the light alone, we watch the dance program. The watching of dance program or performance, enjoyment of it, experience of it, and then having the pleasure of watching it itself is possible because of the presence of the light. But when we're enjoying, we lose sight of the light because of the presence of which the whole program and enjoyment is possible. The whole attention is grabbed by the performance, the program that is happening, and then we lose sight of the light. Even though light is, can light be covered when the dance is happening, the performers are dancing, can the dance performance or the dancers cover the light? Can the dancers, the dance performance or the performers, can they cover the light? The very fact they're dancing, they're shining, we're enjoying the dance because of the light. The dancers and their movements all appreciated, enjoyed because of the presence of the light, in the presence of the light. And how can they cover, because of the presence of which the dance itself is possible, enjoyment is possible, how can they cover the light? They do not cover the light. They cannot cover the light. Dancers or their performance cannot cover the light. But still, the light is seen as though covered, because the attention is totally grabbed by the performance. Isn't it true? We lose sight because of attention. Never a time there's no light. Before the performance, light was. During the performance, of course, light is. After the performance, also light is. Okay? The performance just, performers come, dance, performance happens, performance comes to an end, performers go away. Light continues to be there. Similarly here, consciousness does not come. Consciousness, don't stitch the example, okay? Just understand it as it is. Consciousness always there, doesn't come, doesn't go. The body, the mind, sense organs, all of them are functional, alive. They're active because of the blessing of consciousness. Because the presence of consciousness, as the very exist, which consciousness lends existence to the matter, all the material forms, names and functions. Because the presence of which everything is possible. But consciousness by itself is not doing anything. Consciousness is of the nature of motionlessness, actionlessness, stillness, silence. Consciousness does not speak, but speaking is not possible without consciousness. There cannot be speaker, speaking or spoken without the consciousness. There cannot be seer, seeing, seen without consciousness. There cannot be hearer, hearing, heard without consciousness. There cannot be doer, done, doing without consciousness. There cannot be enjoyer, enjoyment, enjoyed without consciousness. But consciousness is not the doer, not the experiencer, not the enjoyer. Understand? And consciousness is just by its mere presence. Presence it enables us, purtihi. That because of the presence of which everything throbs, but by itself is of the nature of actionlessness. This is consciousness. Okay. So similarly here also, consciousness cannot be covered by body, mind and complex, but is seemingly covered because the whole attention is grabbed. Our body has the attention, mind has the attention, sense organs have the attention. All attention is totally grabbed by this anatma, body, mind and complex, that we lose sight of consciousness, which is always there. It is not covered. Okay, not paying attention to consciousness makes the consciousness as though covered. Understand? Now, what does Vedanta Shastram do? Vedanta Shastram does not create jnanam. Vedanta Shastram just helps you. No, shift your attention from the performance, performer, to the light. Vedanta Shastram helps you shift your attention from the dance to the light. The performance, from the performance to the light. Similarly, Vedanta Shastram here helps you shift your attention from the anatma, inert, material, anatma, body, mind, sense complex to the consciousness. And it helps you understand Vedanta Shastram makes you see that consciousness cannot be experienced newly. In every experience, consciousness is already experienced as the very swarupam of the experiencer. Understand? Don't stretch the example, just example. Vedanta Shastram helps you understand that consciousness cannot be experienced, need not be experienced, not object of experience. Consciousness is ever experienced as not as an object of experience, but as the very swarupam, truth of the knower experiencer. In every experience, there is experiencer. Just as how, along with the every opaque object, what is inseparably, non-distensibly, inseparably closely how light is, so also in every experience there is reality in the form of consciousness, inseparably. The experience, there cannot be experienced object without the experience, there cannot be experience without the experiencer. The experiencer, unchanging, changeless experiencer in all the changing experiences is consciousness, reality. Invariably present in all the variable cognitions is Atma, the consciousness. Pratibodha viditam matam. Pratibodha viditam, in all the changing cognitions, changelessly, all the variable cognitions, invariably present is the Atma. So Atma can never be hidden by anything. All illumining, all knowing reality obtaining in the form of consciousness can never be covered by any anatma. All these layers of personality, the functions because of the blessing presence of Atma. How can the illumined layers of personality can never cover the illuminated Atma? They seem to be covering as though they have covered. That's why koshavat achadakatvat koshaha. The annamaya is said to be a koshaha. As it's not really, body can never cover the Atma. It is like the cover, as though Atma is covered. Anatma can never cover the Atma. Anatma is inert by itself. Except other than reality, the consciousness, everything is anatma. So anatma, which shines, which enjoys existence, which comes to light because of the blessing of atma, the consciousness, can never cover the atma. Atma can never be covered. But it is as though covered because of the lack of attention. And Vedanta Shastram, what is the job of Vedanta Shastram? What does it do? It helps us, it grabs, takes our attention from anatma, and it shifts attention to, from anatma to atma. Vedanta Shastram only does the shifting of attention from anatma to atma. Then when you say, when you showed, hey, how can you say there's no light? Look at this, there's light. How can nothing is there? There's light. When nothing is there, the stage being empty, no performance is happening, also illumined by the same light. The light which illumines the performance and the performance also illumines the absence of dance performance. The performance and the performance not happening there is also illumined by that same light. Similarly, when the mind is full of thoughts, cognitions, what it is, that mind is illumined by Atma. The dream is there, imagine in my Atma. Again, nothing is there. Blank mind. No thought. Blankness of mind. This absence of experience of the experience of experiencelessness in deep sleep state, that blankness of mind also is illumined by consciousness. Therefore, consciousness is non-arriving, non-departing, everlasting truth, which is actually, that consciousness, reality is Spurtihi, and you are that Spurtihi. So Vedanta Shastram shifts attention from anatma to atma, and this is where I should be identified with. I should be resolved in this consciousness. Okay? This is called cognitive shift. Cognitive shift. Physically, do you shift here anything? Physically, we shift our bodies from one place to another place. But the eye sense, the shifting of eye sense from anatma to atma is a cognitive shift. And you see yourself from the standpoint of atma. Then you can say, mayeva sakalam jatam. Everything has come into existence from me. Mayi sarvam. Layam yati. Everything resolves in me. Everything comes into existence from me. Everything is shining in me. Is anything other than me? My God. But cognitive shift should happen. It's not to say it out, but it is the fact to be understood. It's not for talking. This understanding becomes ascertained. That is when one becomes nirvrita manasaha, the person of contentment, mental contentment, the person of satisfaction, the person who becomes free from the hold of mind. That's a person's mind, there is fullness. There's fullness, there's no inadequacy, there's no sense of inadequacy centered on I, then there's no binding, there cannot be binding disease or anger or hatred or fear or anxiety, they're all not there. Therefore, nirvrita manasaha, the person is absolutely free from the hold of mind. Okay? Being endowed with the body, mind and complex, still the person is free from the hold of body, mind and complex. And how can time-bound anatma, everything other than atma is anatma, means the anatma, the material, inert material anatma, which is dependent on the ever-shining, everlasting, timeless, beginningless, endless, changeless, independent consciousness, anatma do any harm to the atma? If you really see the fact of yourself being the Atma, then where is the fear? What harm can Anatma do to Atma, which is dependent on Atma for its very existence? What harm can Atma do to the Anatma? Absolutely, Atma is a nature of harmlessness. Understand? That is why Jnane Bhayam Nasti. Jnanam is Abhayam. The fear will resolve for good. The sense of insecurity centered on I will resolve for good. That is why this is what being endowed with this wisdom, this is, it is the knowledge of this Swarupa of one's own self. It is this cognitive shift which happens through the teaching really is fearlessness. And this is what is called protection. Okay? If somebody says, I am protected, means well protected. How? Wearing jumpers from, so that all jackets and things, I'm protected from cold, protected from, I'm taking umbrella, protected from rains. These are relative protection. Real protection means then fearlessness is protection. It's just understanding the subtlest fact. What is changeable? What is not subject to change? And here, in the process, we also understand Bhagavan as the law and order. Then it's all how, that's why as an individual, being blessed with the willpower, being blessed with this knowledge of right and wrong, making use of right and wrong, using one's willpower, doing what is right. Of course, other things are okay. Certain things you don't want. As long as our life is governed by values, then you are protected by dharma. Relatively protected by dharma and absolutely protected by jnanam. Jnanam eva rakshakam. Sarva rakshakam jnanam. Sarva pavakam jnanam. All purifying is knowledge. Protecting is, protection is knowledge. Isn't it? That's why jnanam is the shield. Jnanam eva kavacham. Nothing can protect you. Dharma is the relative kavacham. Jnanam is absolute kavacham. Nothing can come near you, anywhere around you. Understand? That is why jnani is called dhiraha. Okay. So, this much I want to tell you here. And the person, such a person is Guruhu. Okay. We'll move on next verse. Now the last verse, I know few more things I have to clarify here, and that we will do the Sanskrit class with our other friends who are not here. Krishna ji, Thiru ji, all of them are not here. So Sanskrit Amma, Jnani Amma, all that. So we'll do it there in our regular class meeting in person. Okay. The Sanskrit, I'm going to redo this verse again, the Sanskrit language point. Okay. We'll do that. No, last verse is actually Palashrutihi. So, and what is that? In the last verse, what is subtly implied is the Mahavakyam, I am Atma Brahma. The Spurtihi, the reality arrived at in terms of its nature of being conscious. In terms of its nature of knowledge, knowing, is implied with the term Spurtihi, is the all-pervasive reality, implied with the term Atma. So we recognize Atma wherever there is manifestation of knowledge, that is, that manifest knowledge is reality, the Atma. But now, but other place where knowledge is not manifest, that's not recognizable. So we mistake it for non-existent. Really speaking, there's no place Atma is not. Okay? Whenever the Atma is not manifest, knowledge is not manifest also, you can appreciate the reality in the form of existence. Space is means space enjoys existence. The existence enjoyed by space is Atma, Brahma. Time is means time enjoys existence, and the existence enjoyed by time is Brahma. And anything is, tree is, wall is, window is, people are, anything is means exist, anything exists, the existence enjoyed by everything is Brahma, because existence presupposes knowledge. Therefore, knowledge is manifestation of reality, and the source of knowledge, source of manifestation is the very reality. Therefore, it is the source of knowledge, manifestation, which is there as knowledge and existence of everything here. So, nothing exists outside of the reality. Okay? That's why the first day I said, first to understand, there is consciousness. There is consciousness inside, in me. Then you say, oh, the same consciousness is not only in me, it's also in other, all other beings. Now, not only consciousness is in all other beings, isn't it? Shift from here. And all the beings are in consciousness. Third step. Fourth step, say, everything is consciousness, not in. First you say, there's consciousness in me, there's consciousness in everything. Then you say, no, everything is in consciousness. Fourth step, you say what? Everything is consciousness. It's like saying, water is inside, in the wave. Then water is in the, water alone is in the, no, in the entire ocean. No. Water is not in the wave in the ocean. All the waves in the entire ocean is in the water. Then you say, the ocean is water. All the waves are water. Where is the Adhara Adeya Sambandha? Where is the located location connection? No. All are water. All the waves in the entire ocean is water. Similarly, whole cosmos is Brahma. Aham Brahma Asmi, Jagati Brahma Asti, Ahamidam Sarvam. Therefore, all that is there is only Brahma. Absolutely, what is only pure reality, pure knowledge. But the whole Jagat is what? Every form you see, every object you appreciate is manifestation of knowledge. If you are able to see the fact of everything being manifestation of knowledge, you are seeing, understanding Bhagavan. Okay, all that is serious only Bhagavan means all that is serious only manifestation of knowledge. If you are able to appreciate this fact of everything being manifestation of knowledge, then you can say everything is Bhagavan. Here, this is our concept of Ishvara. I told you many times, I can again tell you, that is why Navaratri time, we keep this Golu itself, is a miniature universe. When we go to any temple, that's why in all our Hindu temples, we not only one murti, too many murtis we have, because we have everything. When we want to invoke Bhagavan, in only Bhagavan, because our needs are many. To invoke the grace of Bhagavan as the bestower of given thing, we have different forms and different murtis, so many. We have no problem. We can worship the whole Jagat, can be worshipped, because everything is Bhagavan for us. River is Bhagavan, mountain is Bhagavan, tree is Bhagavan. That is why inanimate things are also Bhagavan for us. Ayudha Puja, the lorries and trucks get malas and for puja, because everything is Bhagavan. There's nothing is inert for us. Everything is manifestation of knowledge. The inert, unmoving, even now there are also manifestations of knowledge. living beings and non-living beings, mobile beings, everything is manifestation of knowledge, because nothing enjoys existence outside of knowledge. Jnanam. That's why Jnanam is said to be Paranjyotihi, the most exalted light, because it is the reality, obtaining the of pure knowledge, because of which everything becomes illumined, everything comes to light. Is it clear? That's why in Arunachala, Tiruvannamalai, they have light, Jyoti. Light, as if fire is also worshipped as Bhagavan. Space is Bhagavan. Water is Bhagavan. For us, everything had to bow to. Now, everything is sacred. Can you believe? Everything is sacred. There's nothing which is not divine, nothing which is not sacred. That is why, there's worship of everything. Water is Bhagavan, space is Bhagavan, air is Bhagavan, earth is Bhagavan, everything is Bhagavan. All elementals are Bhagavan, all mutis are Bhagavan. My God, go, Mata, cow symbolizes 33 crore devatas. Can you believe? 33 crore upalakshanam. All the devatas, all natural phenomena are symbolizes cow, and the cow is worshipped because now cow has its own special. Which other kind? Cow is worshipped. For us, cow, we cannot think of harming anything, any being, of course. Then naturally, when you look at everything as Bhagavan, that is when the reverence for everything comes. The reverence for everything means we do not take anything for granted. That's why reverence is possible only if there's understanding. Without understanding, you can see everything as stone, simple ordinary stone. I told you many times, we never push anything with our leg like this. Always bend and take and keep. Otherwise, as a child, we get this. You put anything. Because even the pin is there, we have to bend and take and put it. We never do anything with the paper. We never walk on papers. Never walk on rupee note. Never walk on not any coin. Suppose a pound coin or a coin, anything, because Lakshmi. Even a rubbish newspaper is a Saraswati, because information is Saraswati, expression of manifestation of knowledge. Whatever rubbish is written, a rubbish newspaper is what? Expression of, there are words. The words are what? Expression of thoughts. Thoughts are what? Manifestation of knowledge. The source is Bhagavan. Therefore, that is why many times, when I was traveling with coaches from Manchester, those many years ago, Sheila used to drop me in my Victoria station. I always spend 10 minutes at least to clean that the papers. In the very, very beginning, very painful for me to see people walking on with shoes on newspapers. I'm talking about 10 years ago when I came first to this country, 15 years ago. If I see somebody, it says, now I got used to. I don't do cleaning. Those days I used to clean first of all. At least I see any newspaper of people walking. After they walk, put it aside and go. Because very difficult. Once you are raised in a different cultural value, oh my God, people are walking in this newspaper. In the cars, inside people know, put the papers. For me, it's very difficult to put my foot there, and always I sit like this, and then I swallow it, I remove it. Because it's a pain. It's all cultural value, isn't it? So, for the sake of following my cultural values, I don't want to do anything at the cost of universal value of hurting. So I don't tell them. I keep my very suffering. Why I used to lift my legs like this. Why? Because all that is series only Ishvara, Bhagavan. This is a fact to be understood concept of Bhagavan. Why? Because everything is manifestation of knowledge. All that is series Jnanam. Where is Ajnanam? Relatively, the Ajnanam is there. Absolutely, there's no Ajnanam. Okay? Now we'll see the Palashruti. A few things I would have repeated in my classes, but it's a part of this lesson as I'm telling you again. Yet Saukhyam Budhi. Lesha Leshataha Ime Shakradayo Nirvrutaha. See, Lesha Lesha Taha Ime. The visarga is dropped because it is whenever short akara, ukara follows, then the visarga is dropped. Okay? Yat Saukyam Budhi. Lesha Lesha Taha. Ime Shakradayo Nirvrutaha. Yachitte Nitaram Prashanta Kalane. Labdhva Labdhva Munir Nirvrutaha. Yachitte Nitaram Prashanta Kalane. Labdhva Munir Nirvrutaha. Yasmin Nitya Sukham Budhau. Yasmin Nitya Sukham Budhau. Galita Dhihi. Galita Dhihi. Brahmaivana Brahmavit. Brahmaivana Brahmavit. Yah kaschit. Sasurendra Vandita Pado. Nunam Manishamama. Yah kaschit sa surendra vandita pado. Yah kaschit sa surendra vandita pado. Nunam manishamama. So Jnana Palam again is said here. Yat Saukhyam Budhi.
Yat Saukhyam Budhi.
Lesha Lesha Taha.
Lesha Lesha Taha.
Lesha Lesha Taha.
Lesha Lesha Taha.
Ime.
Ime.
Shakradayo Nirvrutaha.
Shakradayo Nirvrutaha.
Yachitte. Nitaram Prashanta Kalane.
Nitaram Prashanta Kalane.
Nitaram Prashanta Kalane.
Nitaram Prashanta Kalane.
Labdhva Munir Nirvrutaha.
Labdhva Munir Nirvrutaha.
Labdhva Munir Nirvrutaha.
Labdhva Munir Nirvrutaha.
Yasmin Nitya Sukham Budhau.
Yasmin Nitya Sukham Budhau.
Galita Dhir.
Galita Dhir.
Brahmaivana Brahmavit.
Brahmaivana Brahmavit.
Yah kaschit.
Yah kaschit.
Sasurendra Vandita Pado.
Sasurendra Vandita.
Nunam Manishamama.
Nunam Manishamama.
So here, what is the nature of that reality? So reality is abstract, subtlest form, subtlest, abstract, because what do you say is abstract and subtlest? Formless. Formless means what? Imperceptible. Because it must have some form to be perceptible. So imperceptible. No attributes, therefore, cannot be described. It's not describable because it has no attributes. It's not perceptible, it has no form. It's abstract, therefore it's not even conceivable. Because it's a very source. We already understood here, it's a very swarupam of everything. Swarupam of the mind, swarupam of the sense organs, swarupam of everything. This essential nature, the truth of everything is this Atma. The reality implied by the term Atma. Obtaining in him of consciousness. And his consciousness is the existence. Chit eva sat. Sat means existence. So, if I say, existence of water is the existence of the ocean. Listen to me carefully. Existence of water is the existence of ocean. Which means, the form, name and function called ocean does not have independent existence of its own. So, enjoys its existence in water. In fact, existence enjoyed by the ocean is belongs to water. Therefore, water is the existence of the ocean. You can ask the question, in what form does water obtain in the ocean? In what form does it obtain? Water obtains in the form of existence of the ocean. So with reference to ocean, water itself is what? The existence. Is it clear? Similarly, in what form does reality, which is of the nature of knowledge, the consciousness, in what form does consciousness obtain in this world? If we say consciousness alone, consciousness obtains in the form of existence of the universe. So existence of reality, the consciousness, is the existence of the universe. And consciousness obtains in the form of existence of the universe. In fact, consciousness is the existence of the universe. Understand? So chit is the sat of the universe. Water is the existence of the ocean. Consciousness is the existence of the whole cosmos. Everything here. Absolutely. Is it clear? Now, this reality, the consciousness, which is the existence of the universe, is of the nature of limitlessness. The final point, I'm coming to the point, coming to the last bit. Ananta Shabda, I have to tell you, he brings in Ananda. So, Anantam, Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam. So, consciousness is existence, existence is consciousness. They are not two different things. What is existence of devotion? Water. What is existence of the universe, the whole cosmos? The knower, known, knowledge, everything is consciousness. There is no such a thing called existence other than consciousness. Consciousness is the existence, existence of the universe, everything is consciousness. So absolutely, what is consciousness? Absolutely, what is existence? Therefore, absolutely, there is no such a thing called non-existence. Means absolutely what is his consciousness means absolutely what is his existence. So when you talk about non-existence, what does it mean? You can talk about relatively, you can say, okay, my grandfather was existent 10 years ago, now he is no more existent. Relatively, you can say non-existence is relative. Relative expression. Non-existence is relative expression. Absolutely, there is no such a thing called non-existence at all. It's a very subtle fact. I don't know how much you can think. Remember this fact. Here, keep retaining it, and we will, as you listen more and more and more and more and more, one day penny will drop. Okay, don't worry. It is too much. I know that. If I said there's no such a thing called non-existence at all, absolutely. Why do I say this? Because existence is the very nature of reality. What is reality? The consciousness. Reality obtaining in the form of pure knowledge is the existence of the whole. Therefore, absolutely, what is existence? The consciousness. And what about non-existence? There is absolutely, there is no such a thing called non-existence at all. If at all we talk about something non-existent, it's a relative expression. Relatively, there is non-existence and existence. Okay? Absolutely, there is no non-existence. Asataha bhavaha na vidyate. Where did you read this verse? Second chapter, 16th verse. Nasato vidyate bhavaha. Na bhavo vidyate sataha. The whole second chapter, the really subtlest word is, verse is this. You can see commentary, Shankaracharya's commentary, Swamiji has written pages after pages and pages. Gattavrityama, isn't it? Sadbuddhi, asadbuddhi, he would explain. Anyway, what I'm saying, asataha abhavaha na vidyate, sorry, bhavaha na vidyate, sataha abhavaha na vidyate, means, okay, there is no such a thing called non-existence at all. Absolutely. What is existence? What was existence? What is existence? What is going to be will ever be existence. A noun, not existent. Existence. And its existence is consciousness. Consciousness is existence. Universe is means consciousness. Consciousness is, therefore universe is. The universe has become unmanifest, is not. Still consciousness is. Universe is not means what? Is not is. Unmanifest universe is. Don't say is not is, okay? Listen to me. Manifest universe is. Unmanifest universe is. Is it clear now? Universe is means manifest universe is. Universe is not means unmanifest universe is. Isness. Okay? Universe is means what? Manifest universe is. Universe is not. Oh, discipline. It's the sleep. Universe is not. Means what? Universe is the unmanifest universe is. Is. Something is not means something, what? Unmanifest is. Unmanifest universe is. Manifest universe is. Universe shines. Manifest universe is. Universe doesn't shine. Unmanifest universe is. Doesn't shine means unmanifest. Shines means manifest. Therefore, there's no absolutely, there's no such thing called non-existence. What is existence? And existence is consciousness. Consciousness is existence. Chitteva sat, satteva chit. And this consciousness, which alone is existence, which is of the nature of existence, which obtains the existence of everything, is of the nature of fullness, limitlessness. Fullness means what? pervasiveness. Pervasiveness means what? It fills everything. Why is it? Because being full, being pervasive is very nature of consciousness, very nature of reality. As existence, consciousness, as nature, pervasiveness. Being full, being pervasive is nature, swarupam. Doesn't do any effort to fill, pervade everything. Being the subtlest and most abstract, most pervasive. All pervasive. Therefore, it pervades time, it pervades space, it pervades all the forms, names and functions which exist within the realm of time and space. Therefore, not subject to time, not subject to space, spatial limitation, not subject to any object limitation, free from all limitations, because time exists in consciousness, space exists in consciousness, awareness. All forms, names and functions enjoy their existence in consciousness. Therefore, everything is subject to time and spatial limitations, whereas consciousness, Atma alone, is not subject to time, spatial, object limitations. Therefore, being limitless is nature of consciousness. Time-wise limitless, spatial limitless, object-wise limitless, being limitless is nature of consciousness. For limitlessness is the nature of the reality. Therefore, anantam. Okay? And this anantameva anandaha. Now, limitless, how should we understand? Limitlessness is happiness. How is it? Why do you say Bhagavan is ananda swarupaha? Bhagavan is of the nature of happiness. I don't know the word happy. English word is as expressive as anandaha, but we have to use it. Ananda swarupaha. Because people have their own understanding. Happiness means, you know, having fun is happiness, isn't it? So I don't know how to express that. People think about it. People have their own. English words are not really as expressive as Sanskrit, but still we try to use, okay? So happiness. Ranaji is not very happy about it. Okay. Happiness. Depends on you. Huh? Okay. Let me take it, okay? Anandaha, happiness. Now he is anantam eva anandaha. Limitlessness is happiness. Anantam is we use ananta shabda, isn't it? Anantam, endless, limitless. So time-wise, spatially, object-wise, limitless, therefore anantam, Brahma. And we say ananda swarupam, swarupam Brahma. This reality is a nature of happiness. Actually, happiness means fullness. Means, so being full is equal to fullness. And the fullness is equal to happiness. And not being full means what? No, being inadequate. So being inadequate is inadequacy. Inadequacy is what? Limitation. Inadequacy is limitation. Fullness is limitlessness. Being limited is being unhappy. Being limited is being unhappy. So being inadequate is being limited. Being limited is being unhappy. Okay? It's a different type of mathematics. So being full is equal to fullness. Fullness is equal to happiness. Fullness is equal to limitlessness. Limitlessness is equal to happiness. So being inadequate is being limited. Being limited is being unhappy. Is it clear? Therefore, being limitless, being full is fullness, fullness is limitlessness, limitlessness is happiness. Okay? So being unhappy, is it clear? No. Therefore, you say Ananda Swarupaha means reality is of the nature of fullness. And to accomplish this happiness, fullness, what should you do? To be happy always, everywhere, with everybody, what should you do? You're already happiness. You need not become happy. You cannot become happy. You're already happiness. You're already fullness. You're already of the nature of limitlessness. This is a fact. Maybe when we listen to this, what nonsense, abish is speaking, maybe it sound like that. But really speaking, this is the fact. Understand? All that you, that's why you need not, cannot attain happiness. You have to take ownership of happiness as your own nature. So one can take ownership of happiness, fullness, limitlessness as one's own nature if one can discover one's own self. The truth, if one can discover the truth of the whole as one's own truth, the truth of very I. The discovery of the truth obtaining as one's own self is discovery of fullness. Discovery of fullness, discovery of happiness is taking ownership of happiness as one's own real nature. That is why happiness is to be discovered, not to be attained. You need not do anything specially after attaining knowledge of the truth. You need not do anything to experience happiness. Another problem. Some miracle has to happen. Something has to happen. Any vibration, any experience you talk about, in all your projections, satyam. Happiness need not be, cannot be attained. Actually, meaning of the word happiness is something to be discovered as the very nature of the reality obtaining as one's own self. Ananda Swarupavan Atma, Ananda Swarupam Brahma, Swarupavat Brahma. Is it clear? Now, Shastram wants to show what is this fullness? You know, suppose Shastram presents, I don't want to go into details, there is a Ananda Mimamsa, measuring of the different degrees of happiness in Taittiriya Upanishad, which I'm not going to do now, different topic, no time. But he said, now what is one unit of Anandaha? One unit of Anandaha? We don't even know Anandaha. If there is a human being, okay, if there's a man who is very handsome, enjoying perfect health, fully is youthful person, ever youthful. Okay, imagine he doesn't become old at all. Very young, energetic, very handsome, very extremely intelligent, brilliant, and he's married to a prettiest woman in the world. And the prettiest woman, and handsome man, and these two have children who are amazingly brilliant, good-looking, handsome. They study well, they play well, they draw well, they shine all disciplines. A very good character, very good conduct, no bad habit. Everything is perfect. All business comes do well. Money comes in well. Everything is happening. Good friends, good neighbors, well-known. Everything is no problem at all for them. If at all there's a human being. If such a human being exists in the world, the happiness, the sukham he enjoys, the pleasure he has, is a one unit of ananda. Understand? It's called Leshaha. And then, like that, you have 100 units of Ananda as such human being. Like that, there's a gradation. It's another level. Next, will be Taittiriya Upanishad will be doing, then you'll enjoy it. Soon it will come to you. But time will tell you. But like that, we have 100 units of Anandas. Like Indra. Indra's Anandaha. Indrasya Eko Devanam Anandaha. Indrasya Anandaha. You're going to have that. In the Upanishad it presents Ananda Mimamsa. But here, imagine having the status of being Indra. There is a contentment, certain degree of contentment, degree of joy is possible. If a person enjoys the status of being Indra, because he's not ordinary local leader, he's a lord of all devas. Devendra, Devanam Indra, lord of devas. And he is Anandaha. And even, okay, that is also, even this joy, the pleasure, contentment enjoyed by the Lord of Devas, Indraha, is only Lesha Leshaha, Leshasya Leshaha. Tiniest degree of Anandaha. Understand? Just to understand, make you understand. Whereas, that's why. Okay. Now what he wants to say in this verse is, so any degree of pleasure, any degree of joy, any degree of happiness, enjoyed, it's not, okay, enjoyed, experienced, is manifestation of fraction of fullness. What is the pleasure? We all had yesterday, we had a pleasure of eating ice cream. Eating cakes, vegan cakes, and all sweets. Have dinner, dancing, going. Pleasure, okay? It's a pleasure. And a pleasure, any degree of pleasure. Suppose get a nice decoction coffee, or some this coffee, or a tea, or the food which you like, when you eat. Person you meet whom you like, something you watch what you like, the place you visit which you like, there's a pleasure. Isn't it? So any degree of pleasure, how much pleasure? We can't measure it. Any degree of pleasure a person enjoys. Any amount of joy a person enjoys. Any degree of happiness a person has is all manifestations of fraction of fullness. Is it clear? And what is happiness? Happiness is manifestation of expression of full. Happiness is expression of manifestation of fullness. Every word is important here. Happiness is expression of manifestation of fullness. That's why if a person discovers one's own swarupam, the truth as one's own swarupam, he has discovered fullness. Discovering, knowing the fire is knowing the heat. Similarly, discovering the truth is discovering fullness. If the fullness is discovered, there's fullness in them. The person is a person of fullness. If he has discovered fullness, he has discovered the truth. On so and so. If there's fullness discovered in the mind, then there is expression of fullness. Understand? Fullness discovered means there is happiness. So where there is fullness, there is happiness. Where there is sense of inadequacy centered on I, where there is limitation centered on I, and there is unhappiness. Understand? So that the happiness, you cannot go and measure somewhere. Happiness is expression of manifestation of fullness. Therefore, any tiniest pleasure enjoyed, any smallest degree of pleasure enjoyed, any pleasure also is expression of manifestation of fraction of fullness. Happiness is expression of manifestation of fullness. Whereas a pleasure, a joy is expression of manifestation of fraction of fullness. This is the difference between pleasure and happiness. You want fraction or fullness? Fraction of fullness. Pleasure is fraction of fullness. That's what he said here. Okay. Yat saukyam buddhi lesha leshatah ime shakradayo nirvritah. See, shakradayah ime, I am imau ime, third person plural pronoun, masculine gender pronoun ime, I am manushyah, imau manushyau, ime manushyah. Is it clear? It's another one. Like eshah yetav yete, I am imau ime. So these shakra adayaha. Shakraha means Indra. Indra, one of the names of Indra, Devendra, lord of devas is shakraha. So shakra adayaha means Indra, such as Indra. There are so many other devatas, and Indra is the most prominent because lord of all devatas. All the devatas such as Indra, Indra and so on, Indra etc. Ime sakradayaha nirvritaha. Nirvritaha in this context, they are contented. They have contentment. Nirvritaha, contented. The one who has contentment. They rejoice and they feel contented. Ime shakradayaha. How? No, lesha leshataha. Means the Indra's happiness and the other devas such as Indra's, their happiness, the pleasure they enjoy, the joy they have, the contentment is only leshasya leshataha. Leshaha means a fraction, smallest degree of pleasure, smallest degree of happiness, the fraction. They rejoice, they revel, only what now? Leshasya leshataha, leshataha. Only because of the tiniest degree of, you can say, degree of the fraction of fullness. The fraction of fullness. Okay? The happiness, the pleasure they have, enjoy, and the contentment they have, the contentment of Indra and other devatas is only, okay, the pleasure they have is only a fraction of fullness. Not even a fraction. Fraction of fraction. Tuliyundrum, tuliyundrum. They say, no? Leshasya leshaha means what? Lesha leshaha, compound word. Taha, lesha taha means only from there, okay? The joy, pleasure enjoyed by Indra and others is only a fraction of fullness. Okay? How do you know that now? How do you say? Saukya ambudhihi. Saukhyam means happiness. Sukasya bhava saukhyam is a noun. Sukham is adjective, saukhyam is a noun here. Sukham also can take it as noun, but here saukhyam is a noun. Saukhya ambudhihi means ocean of fullness, ocean of limitlessness, ocean of happiness. Saukhyambudhihi. Saukhyambudhi lesha leshataha. Saukhyambudhehe leshasya leshataha. Only because of, see, Indra and others enjoy their contentment, have their pleasure, enjoyed by them is only the fraction of ocean of fullness. This is your surupam. What you essentially, only fraction of what you essentially is enjoyed by other devatas. So, saukhyambudhi lesha leshataha ime shakradayaha nirvrutaha. Nirvrutaha means they are contented with what they have. The contentment they enjoy is only expression of, manifestation of, fraction of fullness. Which is the nature of chaitanyam, nature of the reality. Which is you essentially. Okay. Next. Yeah, I'm coming. I have to connect it, no? Come to the point later on. Don't be in a hurry. Saukhya ambudhi lesha lesha. Now, here, understand the complete sentence. Ime shakradayaha saukhya ambudehe leshasya leshataha nirvutaha bhavanti. All these devatas such as Indra are contented. No, the contentment or pleasure they have is because, no, it's only the contentment enjoyed by them is only expression of, manifestation of, fraction of, ocean of, fullness. Fullness is the nature of reality. Yet means yasya chaitanyasya. I come to the point. The next. Yet chitte nitaram prashanta kalane labdhva munihi nirvrutaha. And that fullness is what now? Munihi nirvrutaha. Munihi mananashilaha munihi. The person, here mananashilaha munihi, but the person of the tranquil minded is munihi here. The tranquil minded, the person of absolute tranquility, the person of absolute serenity, the one who has got one who is free from the hold of emotions and thoughts, one has got them resolved, one has got them resolved due to the clear vision of the truth, such a munihi. Munihi here is the person of clear vision who has, by correcting error in his perception of the self, and has got all his emotions resolved, thereby who is endowed with absolutely peaceful mind, is munihi. The person of absolute tranquility is munihi. And this munihi, nirvrutaha, absolutely tranquil minded wise person, what does he do? Nitaram prashanta kalane. Prashanta kalane. Labhate. This wise person attains this peace. Which means, attains means what? He discovers this peace because of his discovery of fullness. Because of the discovery of the very truth as one's own real nature. So discovery of the truth is discovery of one's own real nature, one's own truth, one's own self. And discovery of one's own self is discovery of fullness. And discovery of fullness is what? You know, discovery of the absolute peace. It means prashanta kalane, chitte prashanta kalane. Prashanta Kalane Chitte. So the quietened in the mind, which is tranquil, the tranquil mind, this person discovers fullness, happiness. Nitaram, highly, very. See, Prashantani Kalanani Yasya Chitte Saha Prashant Tat Yasmin Chitte Yasmin Chitte, in which mind Kalana Prashantani Kalanani Tat Chittam Prashanta Kalanam Prashantam Chittam. Kalanam means distractions, disturbances, agitations. So, Prashanta means resolved. The mind wherein all the disturbances, distractions, agitations are resolved. The mind with the resolved disturbances is Prashanta Kalanam Chittam. Prashanta Kalanam is adjective for Chittam. It's okay? Chittam means mind. So, Chitte in the mind, Munihi Labhate. This Munihi, this saint, Labhate attains, gains. He gains means he discovers. Not gaining, attaining, discovering is gaining. Okay? Discovering is gaining. Munihi Labhate, Munihi attains, Munihi gains, Munihi discovers. He discovers what? Where does he discover? No. Prashanta Kalane Chitte. Nitaram Prashanta Kalane Chitte. He discovers in the mind. Chitte Labhate. He discovers in the mind. Discovers in which sort of mind? Not Sakalane Minde. Not the mind which is highly disturbed, agitated, but the mind which is free from disturbances and distractions and agitations. So, Prashanta Kalanam means, so Nitara means highly, very, very, very peaceful. Okay? Prashanta Kalanam also means what? Highly peaceful, disturbance free, mind. The Munihi discovers fullness. Munihi discovers fullness in the mind. And which mind? The mind which is absolutely disturbance free mind. Okay, where all disturbances and emotions, the agitations are all resolved. Prashanta means resolved. The mind in, so you say Prashanta Kalanam Chittam, mean the mind wherein all the disturbances, agitations, emotions are all resolved. Is it clear, mind? So Prashanta Kalane Chitte means the disturbance free, is it, Kalanam means disturbance, agitation. Is it clear now? So Prashanta Kalane, what is adjective? It's a compound word. Kalanani Prashantani Yasmin Chitte Tat Chittam Prashanta Kalanam Chittam. Is it clear now? So, quietened, pacified, tranquilled, disturbance free, agitation free mind. In the disturbance free, agitation free mind, this Munihi discovers fullness. As what? As the very nature of reality. Reality obtaining as the truth of I. Is it clear? The Munihi discovers the reality, the truth, in the form of consciousness, as the truth of I, and he thereby discovers fullness as the inseparable, intrinsic nature of the very reality. And he discovers fullness as one's own swarupam, means what is swarupam? Unchangeable is swarupam. Okay, unchangeable swarupam. So, which does not come and go. The heat, okay, which is an intrinsic nature. The heat does not come and go in fire, isn't it? Intrinsic. In hot water, heat comes and goes. In hot water, the heat is incidental nature. Whereas the heat in fire is intrinsic nature. Incidental nature comes and goes. Intrinsic nature does not come and go. So fullness is not the incidental. It's the intrinsic nature of reality, which is one's own self. Therefore, this person discovers the truth as one's own self, discovers fullness as the very intrinsic nature of one's own self, where in the mind, as the truth of I. But when it discusses where? In this nitaram prashanta kalane chitte, in the mind which is absolutely highly free from disturbances, distractions, agitations, he discovers. Labhate. That person then nirvrutaha. Nirvrutaha is what now? Labdva munihi nirvrutaha. The munihi discovers. Then, also what now? He revels. Nirvrutaha means becomes free. Nirvrutaha means he becomes free from that mind. What does mean? Munihi easily discovers fullness just by discovering the truth as one's own self. But just by discovering the truth of I, Munihi discovers the truth of the whole cosmos. Thereby he discovers very fullness. And Devendra working very hard, doing all pujas, going to heaven also, you know, enjoying the highest position of Devendra. Devendra enjoys only leshasya, leshasya, leshataha. he only enjoys what? Tiniest degree of the fraction of fullness. That is the meaning, okay? To make answer, I have to say, this person enjoys the fullness. Now, Swamiji used to give an example, okay? Somebody comes and tells you, do you want Bharata Deshaha? From Kashmir to Kanyakumari, Akandam Bharatam, do you want the small piece of one small house in Gujarat? Or one state Punjab? Bhagavan wants to have both. And you will say, oh, doubt, no? I think, suppose, I want Punjab, and I want only Gujarat. Yeah, Bhagavan offers you whole Bharatam. And you want only one small thing. You want fraction, you want full. Okay, if whole Bharatam is given to you, Punjab is already in that. It's already in that, isn't it? The whole London I want to give you as a boon. Bhagavan comes and tells. Whole London city is given to you. You don't understand what London city is. Oh, hey Bhagavan. Thank you very much. I don't want that. I want only one house in Upper Wimpole Street. Central London, very close to Baker Street Station. Number 23. Bhagavan will be upset. This idiot I'm talking to. I offer the whole London city and he only wants one small house. So Indra works very hard to get one house. upper Vimpose, T23, very close to Regent's Park Station, very close to Baker Street Station, Bond Street Station. One horse he wants, okay? But whole London is offered. Like that Indra works very hard for his one house. Jnani doesn't do anything, just discovers the truth, he gets the whole London. Understand? What I want to say here, the wise, the Munihi, the person, generally Munihi has different means, different contexts, but here this Munihi, the contemplative, the person who is contemplative upon the nature of one's own Swarupam, having discovered, having had ascertained clear vision of the reality of the universe as the truth of very I, he has discovered fullness in his own mind, in a disturbance-free, quiet mind. Thereby, he becomes absolutely contented. Whereas, the contentment, the pleasure enjoyed by Indra, etc., and those people, they only have fraction of that fullness. Is it clear? Just to say, wise person is far, far, far incomparably superior to even people like Indra, even the gods like Indra. What about ordinary people? Understand? So that's why the greatness of a person, the superiority of the person, is exaltedness of the person, is based on his wisdom, not based on any of his positions or appearance or looks. Is it clear? Just to say how great a wise person is, Indra is about the picture. Don't ask, have you ever seen how happy Indra is? How can I compare? Don't ask me. I have not seen Indra's happiness. The Shastram just the way of talking, isn't it? Presenting the teaching. Even Devendra Padavi, if at all a person has the status, the position of being the Lord of all Devas, and there they have certain joy, they have certain higher plane of happiness and pleasures, and then Sukham, etc., heavenly pleasures. People work very hard to their rituals, practice meditation, won't travel, dayin uttarana punyakala, travel through shukla gatihi, go to heaven, enjoy these things. We don't know anything, we're ignorant people. We were not exposed to that as an advertisement, Vedic advertisement, or tourism promotion advertisements. So we do not know, so we never had interest. But those people who had, if at all they wanted to have, even having gone to Indraloka, Swargaloka, enjoying the position also, that pleasure and joy enjoyable, contentment enjoyable is only fraction of this fullness. Any pleasure enjoyed is a fraction of the expression of manifestation of fraction of fullness. Even now. But to enjoy pleasure you have to work very hard. To enjoy the fraction, but to enjoy the source of pleasures, the fullness, you need not work very hard. Just discover your Swarupam. That's what he says. Okay? That's what is Saukhyambudhi? Ocean of fullness. Reality obtaining in the form of consciousness is the ocean of fullness. Saukhyambudhi. And the Saukhyambudehe Leshasya Leshaha means fraction of the ocean of fullness alone, because of the fraction of fullness, ocean of fullness, he may all these Indra and others you know, are contented, enjoy the pleasures. Really speaking, that very fullness, okay, that very fullness, this wise person, Munihi, Nitaram Prashanta Kalane Chitte Labhate, he discovers, just by discovering one's own Swarupam, having attained Labdhva, having discovered fullness as the very nature of one's own self, the reality, as they having discovered that, this Munihi wise person, what a Nirvritaha, he is absolutely becomes free. Nirvritaha absolutely becomes free. The next, Yasmin Nitya Sukha Ambudhau. Yasmin Nitya Sukha Ambudhau Galita Dhihi. Yasmin Sukha Ambudhau Galita Dhihi. So here, Yasmin, in which Sukha Ambudhi, again, ocean of fullness, ocean of happiness, Sukha Ambudhau Galita Dhihi, the person whose mind is resolved, the person, Galitam Dihi Yasya. Galita Dihi Yasya. Galitam Manaha Yasya, per Galita Dihi Yasya, Saha Galita Dihi. Yasmin Nitya Sukhambudau Galita Dihi. Galita Dihi is here wise person, the Jnani. Why he is called Galita Dihi? Because his mind is resolved in, reveling in, soaked in the ocean of fullness. And such a person who is Galita, the wise person, Galita Dihi, whose intellect, whose buddhi, whose mind is resolved and reveling in that vision of the ocean of fullness, that person is not the knower of Brahma, he is Brahman himself. Brahma itself. He is not Brahma with, we do not call a wise person knower of Brahma. The wise person is known as, the wise person is Brahman itself. Himself is Brahma. Understand? The wise person who knows Brahman is not called anymore as Brahmavit, not known as knower of Brahma. He is seen as, is understood to be Brahman himself. Why? Because after knowing Brahma, his identity is shifted from the intellect to consciousness. If the identity is with the intellect, I know. If you say, what does it mean? When you say, I know, I understand, means identity is with the intellect. I'm sad, I'm upset, I'm emotional, I'm rejected, I'm unwanted. Everybody's nonsense. Maybe you want to know, identity is with the mind. I'm very hungry now. Identity is with the Samana Prana. Samana Prana. My back is a, no? I'm tall, I'm thin, I'm fat, I put on weight, means what? Identity is with the Sthula Sharidam. We have identity with everything, isn't it? Except where we should identify with. Nagyane, identity is all over. Sometimes with the body, sometimes with the mind, sometimes with the intellect, sometimes with the pranas, and sometimes with the sense organs. Problem. So the jnanam is there. This person's identity is with what now? You know, his identity is with the Atma. If identity is with Atma, Aham Brahma Asmi, aham brahma chaitanyam asmi, am atma chaitanyam asti asmi, if that is the jnanam, then we do not see that person anymore as brahma with he is sakshat brahma. Even though that person is endowed with the body, mind and complex, but still I sense is this a cognitive shift has taken place in this. The mind means the person of cognitive shift is now what? Is no more Brahmavit, he is Brahma. Brahmaiva na Brahmavit. Who is Brahma? Eva na Brahmavit. Who is no more an aura of Brahman, but he is Brahman himself. Who? Galitadhihi. The one who is reveling, whose mind is, whom his mind abiding, reveling the vision of the truth, resolved in the ocean of fullness. Reveling the ocean of fullness. Yaha kaschit. Such a person, whoever is, yakkaschit means yakkopi, whoever, such a person, whoever it is, saha that person, devendra, surendra vandita padaha, he is the person who is revered, whose feet are bowed to by devendra, surendra. Surendra, another word for devendra, same meaning. Suranamindraha, devanamindraha, same meaning. Surendra vandita padaha means what? Surendrena vanditau padau. Pade. Padam pade. Surendrena vanditam vandite pade yasya. The one whose feet are bowed to by Surendra. Means one who is revered by Surendra, Deva. That person is the one who is bowed to by Surendra, means if he becomes revered, adorable in for Surendra, and such a person is Guruhu. This is my firm vision, conviction. Esha Mama Manisha. Noonam, definitely. Mama Manisha, doubtlessly. This is my conviction. That person is Guruhu. Who is the Guruhu? That person who becomes even revered, adorable by Indra also. Whoever it is, yakkaschit, whoever it is, irrespective of the Chandala or Brahmana, that person is not anymore Brahmavit. He is the Brahman himself. Just identity, what to identify yourself makes you Brahma. If your identity is with the truth, you are Brahma. You are not the knower of Brahma. But how can you have identity with the Brahma if you do not know Brahma? Okay? Brahma jnanam makes a person Brahma. This is called becoming Brahma. Okay? This is what? Man becoming God. Erivanum manidanum erivanahalam. How does man become God? Man can never become God just by shifting his identity from anatma to atma. Man becomes God. Then wisdom, it makes you God. We have wrong pre-understanding. God means he must be able to punish you wherever sitting here. That's not the thing. Wrong understanding, isn't it? God means must be able to fright other people, scare other people. Lots of our own problems. Here God doesn't. That's what? You must become a human being first, then become God. This is what Vedanta Shastram does. That's why the whole teaching can convert. It's all cognitive, the conversion. This is the conversion Veda Shastram does, not any other conversion. Isn't it? Shifted. So, this person, because he is reveling in the vision of his own Sarupam, thereby he is reveling in the vision of fullness. Reveling in the vision of fullness, reveling in the ocean of fullness. One whose mind is reveling in the ocean of fullness, because his nirvrittaha is completely free from the hold of mind, no more identity with the mind, because he has discovered fullness through the discovery of one's own swarupam, one's own truth. And that fullness, Indranas only have the fraction of fraction of fraction of that fullness. Is it clear? It's clear or not?
I did not understand this verse in the beginning.
Yat means that saukhyambhati, that in which. Okay, that of which. That saukhyambhati, that ocean of fullness, the fraction of which, fraction of which Indra and others enjoy. That fullness which the wise person discovers in his own quiet mind, that ocean of fullness reveling in which the wise person is Brahman it himself, not the knower of Brahman. And therefore, such a person, whoever it is, he is revered, adorable for Indra also. And that person is Guruhu. This is my conviction. The yat is relative pronoun. Yat means relative pronoun. See, if I break it, it become very clear for you. Samasa. See, yasya saukhya ambudehe lesha leshataha. Then yam saukhyambudim chitte nitaram prashantakarne labdhva. Yasmin saukhyambudau. Their last third line is not, there is no compound. First line they have compounds. First lines they have compounds. Okay. So yasya saukhya ambudehe lesha leshataha. First line. Second line. Yam saukhyambudim is understood. Second line. Third is yasmin nitya sukhambudau. There's no compound. So first two lines is yat, actually relative pronoun compound. See, the galita is a participle. Galati resolves. Galita resolved. Melted, resolved. See, if you say wave is water, you have cognitively resolved the wave form in water. There's no more wave. You must have seen the water being the truth of the wave. Then you say wave is water. You're cognitively resolving the wave in water. But here, you understand every thought, all thoughts which constitute the antahkaranam, isn't it? And you discover the truth of the antahkaranam by discovering one truth, one wave. One truth, one thought. Aham thought. What is the truth of the aham thought? You discover the truth being consciousness. There we understand the truth of all the thoughts. The entire mind is what? The same consciousness. You say, oh, aham Brahma asmi means everything is Brahma. Mind is, whole mind is Brahma. Isn't it? It's called discovering the truth of the mind as the truth of I sense. Aham vrittihi is what, thereby saying, aham brahma asmi is what resolve, having the mind resolved cognitively in consciousness. So galita dhihi means the one whose mind, antakarnam, is cognitively resolved in truth consciousness to the vision of the truth of I. You got galita dhihi. For such a person is reveling in the vision of fullness. For him, fullness is his swarupam. The jnani easily discovers the fullness in his swarupam. Devendra works hard to enjoy diffraction of fraction of fullness. Is it clear? You have to say yes or no.
You said the animals do not have eye sense.
Yes.
How do you say that?
If it has eye... I not say there's no jnanam. I said this life, physiological functions are there. Physiological functions happen. Life is there. Okay? So that's why there's knowledge is there. All animals also have their own degree of knowledge. That's why I said the certain degree of knowledge on the part of every living creature, including amoeba, including paramecium, even unicellular organism, wherever you see, a certain degree of knowledge is manifest. And because of which presence of which knowledge, that living creature lives its life. That's why I told you in the class, no animal needs any tuition from anybody else to live its life. For a frog to live frog's life. I don't expect the frog to be a human being, like, okay? It's life. Adequate knowledge is blessed. It's blessed with adequate knowledge. It lives its life. Every living being is blessed with adequate knowledge to live its life. That much knowledge is there. That is why we say, Ayandarivu padaitthadu mirugam, vilangu. All animals are blessed with the sensory knowledge. That is why they can certain degree of knowledge is there that they can recognize their own species, the sex is possible, reproduction is possible, everything is possible. But there's no self-identity. Because there's no knowledge of the existence of the self in terms of I am. There's no self-consciousness on the part of any animal. I am a monkey, I am a donkey, I am an elephant, I am a tiger, I am a lion king of the forest. It's not there. There's no self-identity. There's no identity possible because there's no self-consciousness. You know you are. Therefore, your identity is also I'm a human being. Identity is also possible. Identity is possible because of the self-consciousness. The human being is the only being who self-conscious being. I don't say animals don't have any knowledge at all. They do have knowledge, certain degree of knowledge. Because the sukshma, that is why human being is said to be exalted. And you must be born a human being. Human being alone is eligible to discover the truth. Because you know you are blessed with the partial knowledge. Therefore, eligible to discover who you are, what you are. See, if you know, there is a wave is, then you can understand what this wave is. If you do not even know wave is, how can a wave is, what wave is? You must know something is. You must know the existence of something first, isn't it? Oh, there is something you must know. Then, oh, what is this? Then you can go, look, isn't it? You do not even know that something is, and how can you know what it is? Is it clear? So first of all, knowledge of existence is partial knowledge. Then discovery of what is total knowledge. Is it clear? So I am is knowledge of existence of the self. World is knowledge of the existence of the world. This partial knowledge we already have. We need not work for it. We are already blessed with being a born a human being means we are already naturally blessed with this partial knowledge. That's why you are a human being. If this knowledge is not there, then total ignorance, then like an animal. That is the difference between animal and human being. And because you are eligible to discover what you are, the attainment of moksha is possible only for a human being. That's why human narajanma durlabham, difficult to get, you must have punyam. only papam, then triyak jantu. Human manishyaha, only punyam, devata shariram. Punyam and papa, punya papa mishraha, manishyaha. Both, then you born a human being. But we are fortunate. When devatas cannot attain jnanam, they had exhaust punyam, they had to be born again. The animals that exhaust papam, they had to be born again. Whereas human being alone is the verge, okay, is possibility of discovering a surupam, escape from here. Okay, that's possible. That's why, you see, now ardha jnanam is already there. I know I am. I know Bhagavan is. I know Jagat is. This is ardha jnanam. Human being has. And you make it purnam jnanam, purna vidya. How does it come? You discover what you are. Discovering what you are is discovering what this universe is. Discovering what this universe is what discovering who Bhagavan is. Isn't it? Therefore, knowledge is total. When the ardham jnanam, purnam jnanam yada bhavati, tada mokshaha. The Shastram helps you complete knowledge. Purnam jnanam. Isn't it? Vave is means partial knowledge. I know something is. I don't know what it is. Pahai half ignorance. Oh, vave is whatever you discover, total knowledge. Understand? Like here also, the animals don't have that. Self-consciousness is not there. Happiness also.
There isn't anyone who is happy.
That's what Shastra, that's what, that is, that discovering that fact itself, you have to discover that fact, you have to come to Vedanta class. The people mistake, that is what I said, one unit of, if at all a person has, Shastram discovers one unit of Anandaha. No? And then, people mistake it, that when doubling that small, tight degree of pleasure, they think they're happy. They don't even know. See, there's ignorance of what happiness is. And people do not know that there's ignorance of ignorance. There's ignorance of ignorance. They think they know, there's a false knowledge, they think they know. They think they're happy. That is why people do not even recognize, diagnose the problem of samsara. Vedanta Shastram helps you diagnose it. Really speaking, we do not have understanding of what happiness is. We mistake the pleasure for happiness. Happiness is expression of, manifestation of fullness. Whereas pleasure, joy, or different degrees of fractions of manifestation of fraction of fullness is pleasure. That's why I give the example of this one state or the whole country. We don't even know. We are very interested in pleasures, interested in fractions. Understand? The fraction is. Okay, again, I had to explain what pleasure is, lots of things. So much I've done in the classes, in my talks, in my classes. So much to differentiate pleasure from happiness. Isn't it? Lots of definitions. Anyway, this text I had to cover completely, so I completed it anyway. Okay, just read it now. Yat saukhyam budhilesha leshataha. Saukhyam budhilesha leshataha. Now you can chant together, Visakha, you can drop again. Yat saukhyam budhilesha leshata ime shakradayo nirvrutaha. Yachitte nitaram prashanta kalane.
Yachitte nitaram prashanta kalane.
Labdha munir nirvrutah.
Labdha
munir nirvrutah. Yasmin nitya sukham budho galita dhir brahmaivana brahmavit.
Yasmin nitya sukham budho galita dhir
Yah kaschit sa surendra vandita pado. Nunam manisha mama. Okay. As is, this, I have to unfold a lot I have to tell you here. But I have told you enough, but still I can say something, lots more.
I do not get the Mahavakya of the Lord.
No. Yeah, there's no Mahavakyam. Mahavakyam, this is the Palashruti. The Mahavakyam ends here with the fourth verse. The fifth verse. Fourth verse, yeah. In the fourth verse, Mahavakyam, I said, I am Atma Brahma.
In the deep sleep, we have this Ananda Anubhav, Anandamaya Anubhav, complete.
I said bliss.
Of mind,
yeah, bliss.
Or bliss. But when you are in the deep sleep itself, you are not experiencing anything anywhere. That's my understanding. You can only say that you have.
No, you. I'm not saying you are experiencing. That is
out of it.
Yeah.
So when. Right. So how do I put it? So when you are in that deep sleep, so you are really not knowing that you are having this ananda, are you? Because that's not the definition.
No. You cannot talk about what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. It's not physically. It's not very. We appreciate to see there is experience in deep sleep state. Deep sleep. No. Wait a minute. See, deep sleep state. Deep sleep state is state of mind. Deep sleep state is a state of experience, isn't it? Deep sleep is a state of experience. Deep sleep is a state of experience. The experience is there or not for you. If there's no experience, how can I talk about on waking up? You cannot deny the fact that there is an experience of deep sleep state.
But you realize that only when you come out.
That is okay. Now, I'm saying that the experience is there or not. Experience is there, isn't it? So you do not know anything there.
So I can't say I have experience if I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. That is what I'm saying. There is experience. What I'm saying, deep sleep is an experience. What is experience there?
I'm telling you, wait.
There is no experience in deep sleep state, isn't it? There's no experience in deep sleep state. But there's no experience. He's experienced. You know, when you wake up from sleep, what do you say? I did not experience anything. I did not know anything. But how can you say? You can say there wasn't any experience in deep sleep state. If you are able to talk about the experience, that there wasn't any experience, which means there is an experience of experiencelessness. Experience of experiencelessness, that experience of experiencelessness is possible because of the experiencer. And that experiencer, you are that experiencer who witnessed that experienceless state of mind, blank mind. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Sri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.